Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning. Dr. John here. Been away for a couple of days, I guess, with memorial services. And hope you're having a blessed day. I have a lady, like everybody to pray for, a few of them, Sydney and Dorothy. And pray for the pastor of Covenant Baptist Church as he is on his honeymoon. And I hope they have a long and happy and prosperous marriage. We're in Acts chapter 2. And Acts chapter 2. We're going to go over the beginning of the evangelism of the church. See how far we get into this chapter. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So last chapter, Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem and stay together. And they did. They prayed. I think they became, as it said, one accord. And so they got their differences worked out, and they were excited about Jesus leaving and what he said he was going to do after he left. And this is it. Okay. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. Now, there's about 120 folks here, okay? And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. So these fellows started speaking, or these people started speaking, empowered by the Holy Ghost, in other tongues, and the tongues were the languages of all of the Jews that were in Jerusalem for the Pentecost festival. They were devout men out of every nation under heaven. Okay, so this 120 were given a gift of speaking in other tongues or in tongues, and this tongues was languages of other people that other devout Jews that were from all over the world. And we'll see that. Under nation, every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. For the tongues, right? And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all of these speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Now these guys, let's say these guys were all from New Orleans, Louisiana. And all of a sudden they're speaking Spanish, German, French, Russian, Ukrainian, Italian, Saudian, Arabic, Chinese, Vietnamese, Korean, Japanese. So all of a sudden, all of these people had the gift of speaking in other tongues, given them by the Holy Ghost. So, and everybody heard it in their own language that they were born in. Listen, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, the dwellers of Mesopotamia, and in Judea, Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia. You're going from Turkey, you're going from India, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the inner parts of Libya, and Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews, proselytes, Cretes, Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Now, I don't know what wonderful works of God they were speaking in, but I would imagine that they were going through Genesis chapter 1 through 11. They were speaking the wonderful works of God, and everybody understood them in their own language. Verse 12, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? What's this all mean? Others mock and said, these men are full of nine wine. I think they say nine wine, new wine. Verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it was but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, God, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And he's saying, hey, this is the day. This is the last days. And this was over a little bit over 2,000 years ago, and we're still in the last days. The day with the Lord is 1,000 years. So, okay, and this is what they will do. The Spirit will be poured out into all flesh. Verse 18, and on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And that's what they were doing in everybody else's own language. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. And before that great and notable day of the Lord come, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God, among by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you. Christ was just crucified 50 days before. In the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined counsel and the foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. Death had no strength over Jesus, no power. Verse 25, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. And that's what happened. Jesus Christ never saw corruption, and David's soul was not left in hell. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, and he that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us today. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing what that God has sworn with an oath to him, two of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He knew that Christ was coming through his offspring. That's what it says. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father of the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into heavens, but he saith unto himself, the Lord saith unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Lord God Almighty, said to the Lord Jesus Christ, sit thou on my right hand. And that means that the Trinity of the God in Jesus Christ, as God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Ghost, God the Son, is to sit on the right hand of the Trinity. Okay. Until I make thy foes thy footstools. 36. Therefore, let the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And what that repent means is to mean, that means to go from the thought of believing that you were right in crucifying Christ because he was a false Messiah, false Lord, into believing that he is the Messiah and that he has resurrected from the dead, and you believe that he did this for you. That's what repentance means. That's what that means. And show it publicly by being baptized and showing that you're cleansed of your sin and that you believe that you're free from your bondage of your sin and your sins are forgiven because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what will happen? You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I want to reiterate a couple of things here. Of course, we can't find it. Yep, here it is. Verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Verse 39, many are called, but few are chosen. Now, verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So the Lord is controlling the addition, who's coming into the church. He called them, and then he added them. It's the Lord's church, God's church. And there's no hierarchy. No, there's no pope and archbishops and all this other stuff. No. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and then all of his believers, all of those that have surrendered to him and have been called and added to the church are on a level ground. Brother John, WSM217@gmail.com. God bless you.